habits are effortless loops of cue, routine, and reward. In the 1990s, researchers at MIT studied how habits form in the brain by observing mice navigating a T-shaped maze to find chocolate. Initially, the mice showed high brain activity as they searched for the chocolate by sniffing. However, when the experiment was repeated, the mice's brain activity decreased as they learned the path, going straight and then turning left. This automatic process of turning actions into routines is called chunking. It helps the brain save energy and perform tasks more efficiently. Even complex activities, like finding chocolate or backing out of a driveway, eventually become effortless habits. Research from 2006 indicates that about 40% of our daily actions are based on habits. A habit can be broken down into three main parts. First, an external cue triggers it, such as an alarm clock ringing. This causes a spike in brain activity as it decides which habit to activate. Next is the routine, where you perform the activity without much thought, like brushing your teeth. Finally, you receive a reward, like a fresh feeling in your mouth. This reinforces the connection between the cue and the routine. Habits are strong and can even persist in people with brain damage. For instance, Eugene, who suffered from severe brain damage, couldn't point to the kitchen when asked. Yet, when asked what he would do if he were hungry, he walked directly to the kitchen to get a jar of nuts. This happens because habit learning takes place in the basal ganglia, a small part of the brain that can function normally even if the rest is damaged. However, this resilience means that even if you stop a bad habit, like smoking, you may still risk falling back into it. Habits stick when they generate cravings. For the past year, you've treated yourself to a sugary chocolate chip cookie every afternoon at work as a reward for your hard day. But now you've noticed some weight gain, and you decide to stop this habit. How will you feel the first time you walk past the cafeteria without grabbing a cookie? You might either give in for just one more or feel grumpy for not having one. Quitting a bad habit is challenging because of the cravings formed. Research by neuroscientist Wolfram Schultz explains this. He studied a monkey named Julio. In an experiment, Julio saw colored shapes on a screen. When he pulled a lever, he got a drop of blackberry juice. At first, Julio didn't pay much attention, but as he learned the connection between the shapes and the juice, his brain showed pleasure when he got the reward. Soon he anticipated the juice even before getting it, explaining how cravings work. In another part of the study, Julio sometimes received no juice or only a little. His brain showed frustration, making him moody when he didn't get the reward, similar to how you might feel missing your cookie. The good news is that cravings can also help form good habits. A study found that people who exercise regularly crave the benefits, like the endorphin rush or a reward afterward. This craving helps solidify the habit. Companies know how to create these cravings. For example, Claude Hopkins promoted Pepsodent toothpaste by highlighting the cool feeling it provides, making it a desirable product. Replace habits with new routines and trust in the change for success. Giving up cigarettes can be challenging, especially when the craving for nicotine strikes. The main principle for quitting any habit is to redirect the craving instead of trying to fight it. This means you should keep the same triggers and rewards, but change the behavior that follows the craving. Research shows that former smokers who identify their triggers and replace smoking with alternatives, like doing push-ups, chewing Nicorette, or taking a few moments to relax, are more likely to stay smoke-free. A successful example of this approach is Alcoholics Anonymous, AA. The organization has helped millions of alcoholics achieve sobriety by encouraging them to identify what they crave from drinking. Participants often realize that they want relaxation and companionship more than intoxication. To address these cravings, AA suggests new activities, like attending meetings and talking with sponsors, instead of drinking. However, relying only on habit replacement isn't always enough. Researchers from California found that AA members often revert to drinking during stressful situations, even after years of sobriety. For instance, one member relapsed after receiving bad news about a family member. Studies show that those who manage to avoid relapse often have strong beliefs. This is why spirituality and faith are important in AA. It's not just the religious aspect that helps. Believing in a higher power also adopts the idea that personal change is possible, which strengthens individuals during tough times. Focus on key habits for change with small, impactful wins. When Paul O'Neill, a former government official, became CEO of the struggling aluminum company Alcoa in 1987, many investors were doubtful. During an investor meeting in a fancy Manhattan hotel, O'Neill shocked everyone by stating that his top priority would be workplace safety, not profits. One investor quickly called his clients, saying, "The board has put a crazy hippie in charge, and he's going to ruin the company." O'Neill tried to explain his plan, but he believed that merely talking about safety wouldn't lead to real change. Instead, it required building a company-wide habit. O'Neill recognized that habits exist within organizations, and changing a company's path means changing these habits. Some habits, called keystone habits, are especially important because they create positive effects in other areas. By prioritizing worker safety, O'Neill ensured that managers and employees would need to find safer manufacturing methods and communicate safety suggestions effectively. This focus on safety eventually made the company more efficient and profitable. Despite initial skepticism, O'Neill's strategy was a major success. By the time he retired in 2000, Alcoa's annual net income had increased fivefold. Keystone habits can also help individuals change. Research shows that doctors struggle to get obese patients to make broad lifestyle changes. However, when patients concentrate on one keystone habit, like keeping a detailed food journal, they often begin to adopt other positive habits too. Keystone habits create small wins, or easy early successes, helping people believe that they can improve in other areas as well. Willpower is a crucial keystone habit. In the 1960s, Stanford researchers experimented with four-year-olds involving a marshmallow. Each child could eat one marshmallow immediately, or wait 15 minutes for two marshmallows. About 30% of the kids resisted temptation. Later, those who waited performed better in school, were more popular, and had fewer addiction issues. This showed that willpower significantly impacts life outcomes. More recent studies confirm this. For example, a 2005 study found that eighth graders with strong willpower achieved better grades. However, willpower can be inconsistent, like a muscle that tires. After focusing on a tedious task, you might struggle to find the motivation for exercise. Practicing self-control, like following a diet, can strengthen your willpower. For instance, Starbucks employees usually stay positive, but stressful situations can drain their patience. To address this, Starbucks developed the latte method to help baristas manage stress by listening to customers, acknowledging complaints, taking action, thanking them, explaining the issue. Lack of choice can also weaken willpower. Being forced to do something makes it harder to maintain self-control. Organizational habits are risky, but can shift during a crisis. In November 1987, a commuter at King's Cross Station in London informed a ticket collector about a burning piece of tissue near one of the escalators. Instead of investigating or alerting the appropriate fire safety team, the ticket collector ignored the situation, thinking it wasn't his job. This reflects a larger issue. At the London Underground, responsibilities were divided among departments, and employees tended to stick to their tasks. The structure had created a culture where people avoided stepping outside their roles, leading to a lack of accountability. Moments later, a massive fireball exploded in the ticket hall. Those present were not trained to use the sprinkler system or the fire extinguishers. It took a long time to call for help, and by then, the situation was dire. Rescuers reported seeing passengers so badly burned that their skin peeled away. Ultimately, 31 people lost their lives because no one at the station had full responsibility for passenger safety. However, crises can lead to positive changes. They create urgency and push organizations to rethink their habits. Good leaders often exploit this urgency to implement necessary reforms. In the case of the King's Cross fire, investigator Desmond Fennell discovered that many safety changes had been suggested before but ignored. To push through resistance, he made the investigation widely public, which helped bring about reforms. Today, every station has a dedicated manager focused on ensuring passenger safety. Companies leverage habits in their marketing strategies. When you walk into a supermarket, the first thing you usually see is fresh fruits and vegetables arranged neatly. This might seem strange since these items are delicate and could easily be damaged. Ideally, they should be near the cash registers. However, marketers discovered that if shoppers fill their carts with healthy items first, they are more likely to buy unhealthy snacks and cookies later. Retailers have other clever tricks to influence what you buy. For instance, most people tend to turn right when they enter a store, so retailers place their most profitable products to the right of the entrance. While these tactics work, they are often the same for everyone and don't consider individual shopping habits. In recent years, technology has changed this. Retailers can now collect detailed data to better understand customer preferences. Target is one retailer that excels at this. In the early 2000s, Target aimed to attract a specific group, new parents. To get ahead of the competition, they wanted to reach expecting parents before their babies were born. Target analyzed the purchasing habits of pregnant women and targeted them with specific coupons. In one surprising case, they sent baby-related coupons to a pregnant teenager who hadn't told her family yet. This led to an upset father confronting the local Target manager. He thought they were encouraging his daughter to get pregnant. When the truth came out, he ended up apologizing. However, Target realized that people don't like feeling watched. To solve this, they mixed baby coupons with random offers for items like lawnmowers and wine glasses. This way, the targeted offers felt more familiar. Companies often do this to sell new products. For example, radio DJs play new songs between popular hits to help them gain acceptance. Despite some backlash for their aggressive marketing tactics, Target's strategy was successful. From 2002 to 2009, the company's revenue increased significantly, from $44 billion to $65 billion, largely due to its focus on pregnant women. Movements arise from close bonds, peer influence, and changed routines. In 1955, Rosa Parks, a black woman in Montgomery, Alabama, refused to give up her bus seat for a white man. Her arrest led to significant events that made her a symbol of the civil rights movement. Although many others had faced similar arrests before her, Parks's case became particularly influential. Several factors contributed to the bus boycott that lasted over a year. First, Parks was well respected in her community and had a wide network of friends, from professors to workers. She was the secretary of the local NAACP, active in a youth group at a Lutheran church, and helped low-income families with dressmaking. Parks was so involved that her husband joked she attended potlucks more than she ate at home. This network of strong ties, close relationships with various community members, helped raise awareness of her arrest and kickstart the boycott. However, strong ties alone couldn't sustain such a lengthy movement. That's where weak ties came in. These are connections with acquaintances who can influence people through peer pressure. When a larger group supports a cause, it's harder for individuals to withdraw. As the boycott continued, city officials created new carpooling rules to make public transport harder for the black community. At this point, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. delivered a speech advocating nonviolence and urging participants to forgive their oppressors. This message inspired people to organize church meetings and peaceful protests, turning the movement into a self-sustaining effort. Changing habits is our responsibility. In 2008, Brian Thomas strangled his wife and then turned himself in. He was charged with murder, but he claimed he was suffering from sleep terrors. Unlike sleepwalking, where a person acts out, sleep terrors cause the brain to enter a primitive state. In this state, Thomas thought he was fighting off a burglar attacking his wife. His defense argued that his protective instinct kicked in automatically. Around the same time, Angie Bachman was sued by Harrah's Casino for $500,000 in unpaid gambling debts after losing her home and inheritance. In court, she claimed she was simply following a habit. Gambling gave her pleasure, and Harrah's sent her enticing offers for free trips to the casino, which she couldn't resist, despite knowing she had a gambling problem and had already filed for bankruptcy. In the end, Thomas was acquitted, and many felt sympathy for him. Bachman, however, lost her case and faced public criticism. Both claimed, "It wasn't my fault, it was my habits." But why was only Thomas acquitted? The key difference is awareness. Thomas was unaware that he could hurt anyone while asleep, but Bachman knew she had a gambling problem and could have opted out of Harrah's marketing offers. Key points. 1. The brain uses chunking to save energy by turning actions into habits. 2. Cravings reinforce habits, making them hard to break even in stressful situations. 3. Replacing habits involves changing routines while keeping the same cues and rewards. 4. Keystone habits can trigger positive changes in other areas of life. 5. Willpower acts like a muscle that can be strengthened through practice. 6. Close social ties and peer influence play a crucial role in sustaining movements and changes,